sermon this evening comes from Luke chapter 5. If you would join me there. The sermon will be from verse 16. If we flip back a few pages and worked our way along and looked at what was taking place in the life of Christ, we would see him in what I would describe as terrible circumstances. When he is being confronted, and particularly the evening when he was at Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was there. And then all of the people who had sick and demon-possessed people, when it was sunset, started bringing them all out. Visually, I think of the sun setting, I think of the red glow on the area, and looking out, and demon-possessed people being brought. Imagine if we were in downtown Beaver Falls where we had lived for a time, if all the people who were sick and demon-possessed were being brought to my front door. It'd be a stressful situation. And Jesus actually worked and did a spiritual work all night long. For those of you who have ministered or you have dealt in the realm of the spiritual tensions, you know how draining it is even to be in a counseling situation. There have been counseling situations and presbytery meetings and presbytery committee meetings where I'd frankly rather run a half marathon than sit in for an hour in some of those. There is a drain that takes place. Well, we look and see what had been going on in Jesus' life, and we know from the scripture that Jesus actually got physically drained as well. When he was on the lake and they were passing through, he was so tired, he was sleeping in the midst of a storm. We know that the aspect of him that had a human nature actually trembled when he thought about going to the cross. He sensed the same fears that we have. He sensed the same drains and had the same drains that you and I have. But in verse 16 of Luke 5, we see how he deals with it. Where you and I, some of us would say, well, I need a vacation. Some of us might be in a situation where we could actually say, I need a cruise. Some of us might come home in the evening and say, I need a glass of wine, or I need to stop and pick up ice cream on the way home, or I need Netflix. Here we see Jesus responding to the pressures and the tensions in a very different way, and we understand from the scripture that God has made Jesus' footsteps into a way. Verse 16, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Pray with me now. God, help us to see the ways in which we are able to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand how you will be glorified as we do follow Jesus, how we will be strengthened for the work of ministry, that is, the work of service for you and for our neighbors as we do follow Christ in faithfulness. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm inviting you now to consider the tensions and the pains that you experience in your life. Imagine Jesus Christ having come in the flesh, and he would have been a man with a tender heart. He would be able to look at people and see their pains and think of the source of their pains. Part of my evidence for this is his experience when Lazarus had died. When he looked around and saw the sorrow of the people around him, Jesus wept. I think of Jesus even as a child when he would see another child with a scrape from thorns or briars. He could look and he would remember that thorns and briars are a result of the fall. He could look and he could see his mother or father weep when a loved one had died. And he would know and remember that death was a result of the fall. As you consider your life and as you consider the pains and the tensions that you face, how much of your sorrow, how many of your pains could you actually say are a result of the fall? How many of the pains that you face are a result of sin? Someone else's sin? Or your own sin? So we look and we see that this is not strange to us and it was not strange to Christ. But the way that Christ responded to these pains and these sorrows was to go to his heavenly Father and to spend time with him there. This piece resonates with me as Jesus would go off to the wilderness. Recently, I said to my wife, I think I need to go sleep in the woods for a couple of days. For some of us, it would be something different. It wouldn't necessarily be the woods. Some of us, it would be our own bedroom with the door shut. Occasionally, my wife, Leslie, about once a year, she gets 24 hours. She will go hide in a local hotel for 24 hours. And she will pray, and she will read, and she will come back so much better. Well, this opportunity that we have as we are considering this, it's an opportunity that we all have, that we can all go to our Heavenly Father at any point. We see that the practice of Jesus was to do it often. He would slip away, and his reason to slip away was to pray. So the call for you tonight is to talk to your Father in private, often. Our first step is to take the posture of a respectful child. It says, but Jesus himself. It's striking that it doesn't say just Jesus, but Jesus himself. We could take that to mean even Jesus would do this. When I was first coming to the Lord, when he was changing my environment around me, one of the first things that made me want to be a Christian was this man that I had met, and he had these children that were respectful, and that confused me. It was so different from what I had seen. And not only were they respectful, but they were happy children as well. They would respond to his commands, and they would respond to his instructions. They would even say, yes, sir, to their dad, which was something that I had never seen before. What I learned from watching this family was the children knew where the center of strength was in their home. They knew who the one was that could protect them. They also knew who the one was who would discipline them. But it wasn't a source of sorrow or grief to them, but it was a source of confidence to them and a source of joy for them, that they could be protected, that they could be loved, that they could be held, and they could even be corrected. In our lives, how do you see your Heavenly Father? Some of us have had the benefit of fathers who have loved the Lord. Some of us have had fathers who brought us up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and that is a wonderful blessing. Some of us have not. Some of us have known sorrow and grief at the hands of our earthly fathers. But we are spared that now, and we are brought to a new place now where we have a Father who knows us, who loves us, who embraces us. The Father meets Jesus and treats him and holds him fast like a beloved son. And your Heavenly Father responds the same way to you. He looks on you and he sees his perfect son. He looks on you and he sees perfect righteousness. Perhaps you have had the opportunity to have your heart melt when you see a parent come home from a long time away and to see a child filled with joy to run into the parent's arms and to be embraced. And you see the joy in both of them in such a moment. Our quiet time of prayer is actually that in eternity. Your Heavenly Father wants you to come to him. He rejoices when you come to him. He gives you his undivided attention. In our lives with our parents, there will be tensions and there will be trials and there will be strains. We imagine that it is the same way with our Heavenly Father as we think upon all of our sin. But the reality is all of those tensions and those trials and those pains have already been dealt with and answered in Christ Jesus. We come with a confidence. You're able to come with a joy as you know a Heavenly Father who is true and is perfect. Psalm 5:3, as we have already sung, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. One of the blessings in my life is I'm able to have something of a fluid schedule. We've been able to schedule family worship for 8:30 in the morning. So you got to get up at 7. You got an hour to clean your room and take care of your chores. 8 o'clock, you eat your breakfast, and by 8:30, we assemble together for family worship. And in that time, we do concerns for the day. And the children are able to say, I'm worried about this, and I'm concerned about that, and we can pray for each other in those moments. And there are days when my schedule doesn't work, and we miss it. And it's a sad event when we miss it. There's the opportunity to sing together and to pray for one another and to meet together. And we actually have good morning hugs every morning. A beautiful piece of this. My son Amos looked over when they were at an event with some friends, and it was cold out, so a bunch of people were trying to use Nate as a windbreak because he's this big dude now. And Amos said, wow, Nate gets mad when I cuddle up to him next like that. And one of the other children said, when you what? He said, when I try to cuddle up to him that like that. And they said, you cuddle up with your brother? He said, well, I sure try to. And he said, I only get to hug him about twice a day. And one of the girls said, I don't know that I ever hug my sister. And Amos said, oh, that's terrible. Amos said, I get about 12 hugs a day. He said, I get 4 good morning hugs, 4 good night hugs, and several help me get through school hugs throughout the day. This presence and this intimacy is something that you can have with a father who loves you, who is always available for his children. So our next step, number 2, is try to find closeness, the closeness of talking. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Consider the closeness that Jesus Christ had with the Father. In John 10:30, Jesus made the statement, I and the Father are one. What is it like to be like that? I and the Father are one. My children are getting older. My son Nate resembles a man more than a boy now, and we have some tensions now as he tries to figure out how to be a man, and as I try to figure out how to be the father of a man rather than just the father of a child. One day we had been listening to an audiobook together while we traveled, and there was this amazing camaraderie between men and a commitment between men, and I was trying to think of how to express it to my son that this is what I want us to have. And what I came up with was, we should have each other's hearts. I should be committed to your heart. I should be committed to your growth. I should be committed to your good. You should know that I am on your side. And I want to know that about you too. This is that picture of Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. In John 17:20-21, Jesus said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, referring to the disciples of the day, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. This intimacy, as it's being portrayed here in the scripture, being in the Father and the Father being in us, and we have been given that Holy Spirit, that would be the reality. You are in the Holy Father, the King of heaven and earth, your Creator. Jesus Christ and his Spirit and the Spirit of the Father is in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that you have been given. This is what you have. And you are given the opportunity to express your very heart to the Father and to be received by him. In our lives, we have the sad tension that we are afraid, if I tell someone what I really think, they might not like me anymore. If I tell them what I'm actually feeling, it might be too much tension for them to bear, and our relationship might be damaged. You may feel that with siblings, with your children, with your parents. You may feel it in the midst even of your own church. You may feel it with a spouse. It would just be too much for them to bear. Do you imagine that there is anything that you could say that would be too much for your heavenly Father to bear. Do you imagine that you could create too much tension for him? An amazing idea is that he knows every word before it's even on your tongue. And still he says, come and talk to me. Come, spend time with me. Come and meet with me. There is an intimacy, a closeness, a transparency that is meant to exist in our prayer life that your Father longs for. How that can be, I don't know. He's told us in other places there's nothing that we can provide that he needs, but he still wants it. It must be that he wants it for you. He wants it for your joy, for your comfort, for your care. Such is your heavenly Father. He wants to hear you. Our next step, number three, is ask God's Spirit to lead you in prayer. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We look in the scripture, Galatians 4, 6 describes that we have been given that Holy Spirit into our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father. It's interesting that they keep translating it that way, that Abba, Father. Everybody that I know that knows these languages says it means daddy. You've been given a heart that calls out daddy. Maybe it's a bit weird for us. We have a young man in our congregation who's 26, and he's a mountain of a man with a nice big beard, and he still calls his dad daddy, and it sounds weird. But one of my sons have picked up on it, and he likes to call me Poppy, which is a bit silly, but I think it communicates the heart of it. We're close. We're close. You have been given God's actual Spirit. Similar to the idea that I mentioned earlier, I should have your heart and you should have mine. God has said the same thing. He's actually said, you should have my Spirit and I should have yours. This level of intimacy, this level of affection that's compared in the scriptures, even between the relationship between a husband and wife, that they would know each other, that you would know the heart of God. And God already knows your heart. So this idea of the Spirit and possessing the Spirit, having been given the Spirit, from 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except for the Spirit of God. This idea that, you know, to an extent, we even miss things about ourselves. There's things about ourselves that we don't know that our spirit does know. There have been times where I told Leslie that my shoulders are burning and I don't know why. And Leslie will say, you are stressed. And I say, I didn't know. She says, oh, you might not know it, but you're stressed. My spirit knows that I'm stressed. My spirit knows the tension that is present. The Spirit of God knows the innermost being of God. And you've been given that Spirit. We all long for connection. We all long to know people. We all long to be known. The eternal reality is already present. You are known. And you have been given the Spirit of God. This brings us to our next step, which is to pray in Jesus. Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. We understand that it's Jesus that has the actual access to the Father, so therefore, he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34 communicates the same idea, just a little different. Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So we're given this great picture and this amazing relationship. The Spirit of God himself has been placed in us that we would know the heart of God and be able to pray the heart of God in Christ Jesus. You actually pray, you speak, and your voice goes to God's ear in heaven, as Solomon had been praying. Jesus Christ is there at the throne, and he intercedes for you. The prayer that you bring, the request that you make, the Son is there in heaven to speak on your behalf and to intercede for you. There is no, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now that we experience here on earth? The reality is established. The link, the connection is established, not by what is seen, but by something much better, by what is unseen, what is eternal, what is beautiful, what is perfect, what has been bought and paid for with the blood of Christ Jesus. Do you see that it's solid, that it's secure, that it is the way of communication, and it is what our hearts have been longing for? What is already there, closer than your fingertips? One of the godliest people that I've ever known was my great aunt Wilda. She would say, Micah, we were always taught that the Holy Spirit is closer than our very breath. This idea is so true, and that is the Spirit of Christ within us, giving us access to the Father through Christ Jesus. This brings us to our next step, which is pray for God's glory. We would look at the scripture and we would see that to which Christ was most dedicated. He was most dedicated to God's glory, and we touched on the idea in the introduction of one of the Psalms that it is the value and the worth in the world as we live for God's glory and we consider our chief end to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. How do you glorify God, and what would it take? As we look at our lives and we do that real research and that real study in our lives and in our hearts, we ask that question, what would it take for me to glorify God more? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isn't that the same to pray then? Whatever you do, whatever you pray, pray for the glory of God. So as you would look at your life, your heart, your minds, what would it take for you to glorify God more? For some of us, it would be a letting go of something. For some of us, it would be a clinging to something more. We each have that question in our lives, and frankly, I'm sure it's terrifying to ask the question. Because the things that we would have to let go of, we have been really clinging to for the wrong reasons. The things that we would have to reach for and grab a hold of, we've been pushing them off desperately for the wrong reasons. We could look at our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our spouses, our children, and ask the question, what would it take for them to glorify the Lord more? Come to that place where we pray for those things and we are chiefly concerned about those things, where we would pray for God's mercy on us and our loved ones and our nations, where we would pray for repentance for us, our loved ones, our nation, where we would pray even for God's discipline, where people and nations will not repent for the glory of Christ, so that his kingdom will come and his will be done in our hearts, in our houses, our churches, and our nation. So this brings us to our sixth step, which is withdraw. But Jesus himself would often slip away or withdraw to the wilderness and pray. Psalm 85:13, we'll be singing this soon. Righteousness will go before him, and he will make his footsteps into a way. If even Jesus, Jesus himself, would often slip away, how much more so do you and I need that same practice? Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So here's the question. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you make this the reality of your life? Will you make it so that you could actually say, you will hear me in the morning? I will meet with you. At different points in our lives, we have needed people to say that to us. To schedule an appointment, to schedule a time. You and I have known the sorrow of people rejecting us and not showing up. We have said and we have sung in the morning, I will meet with you. For me, I have to plan it. I have to plan it in the morning. I have to schedule it just like I would schedule an appointment with Matt. I have to do it that way. And I sit down and I actually have to open up my phone and I have to put on a timer for 10 minutes and say, I will not do anything else until this timer goes off. Doesn't matter if my phone vibrates. It doesn't matter if it rings. It doesn't matter what happens. I have an appointment with the Most High God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to meet with you. He has given you his Holy Spirit that you can call out to him, Abba, Daddy, and he will embrace you in his arms in Christ Jesus every time and listen to every single word that he says. And he has shown you that he has loved you. He has shown you that he has cared for you in Christ Jesus. Meet with him in your quiet place often. Pray with me. Oh God, our God, we thank you that you have made such a promise to hear us. We thank you that you have not turned your heart away from us, but you have turned your heart to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your loving kindness and your compassion towards the sons of men. God, help us to be faithful, that we would not merely be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word, and that we would seek you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, and all of our strength, and that you would be glorified as we are changed more and more into the image of your Son, Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.